but I can't read her thing. You write, please.
Okay.
All right, let's go ahead and call this Tuesday, February 11th, City of Westminster Budget Workshop Meeting to order. Mr. Bronson?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council. You guys, I believe, are familiar with the format, but we're going to rock through it and answer any questions you have as we go. If I go too fast, you slow me down, but I'm going to try not to, drag it out myself. So just a reminder, this month, March and April, you have budget workshops that begin at 4 before your 6 o'clock meeting. We'll have a special call council meeting on April 29th, which is where we present the staff proposed budget to you. First and second reading will happen in May and June. We'll have public hearing at the first reading in May. So I usually don't spend a whole lot of time on these slides. These are meant to inform you. The blue boxes are the most recent information out of your most recent audit. And then the numbers that have the 2025 budget, that's the budget that you approved for this year. I think it's good to be able to see historically how things are going. And as we go through these budget workshops, if you look at it, I know you'll study this tonight. When you get home and you have questions, you can ask me anytime, or you can ask at the next budget session. So I'm going to just give you a few moments to, look at this. You also have it in your presentations.
Just a quick one. Why are the commodities down so much right now? Or
I am not certain I can find out. There's not a lot of commodities that's going to be in that utility admin anyway. Utility admin is more of the contractual and the personnel. Mm-hmm. But I will.
That's like $300,000 different.
Which one are you looking at?
Commodities under electric, 2024, from last year.
Well, one, you're looking at the actual where we came out. So
yeah.
Where you see that negative number, that means we went over budget.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at the actual or the budget number in 05.
Right. So there's nothing major's happened. I mean, nothing. It's just went through the year yet.
Correct. Like, we started doing some substation maintenance with some parts that we were able to purchase from Blue Ridge, and I don't know if they were purchased before we closed it the year out in 24. And that was something that we hadn't budgeted for. And there was something else we did in electric that we also had not budgeted for in 24. But I can't recall what that is. So looking at water and the water plant. Sewer and non-departmental.
Are you going to get into, I'm sure you are, why that 25 budget number is under a million of total water plant?
Are you talking about the
slide 4? You got it 978,000 budgeted.
Yes. And what was your question?
It just seems a little low. Are you just being conservative?
Well, in 23 and 24, we used Oconee County ARPA money to make improvements.
Okay.
We had that $1.3 million. Some of that is recorded here, and some of it got recorded in capital. So I probably am, I don't have an exact answer to your question, I probably am being conservative with that number, but if you look back to 22,
oh, yeah,
and then you see where 23 and 24 are higher,
I got
some of that is a result of that ARPA money.
Okay.
Rebecca, do you know if that all was recorded here or if it was recorded elsewhere when you record those ARPA expenses?
It should. No. Some of it is within capital.
Yeah, Audrey, I think that's
I'm just curious.
If
fine.
You want me to drill down into it, I'd be happy to.
Okay. I'm just making conversation.
Going back to sewer. And then just giving you, this is the same exact slide that we had last year, reminding you of what our financial policy is. It doesn't mean that we have to go exactly by it, although we did adopt the policy to go by it. There are kind of two things in here that I just wanted to pull out for your attention. One is that we budget what each activity needs to operate, and the second one is we do a 5% utility franchise fee. Current financial environment, not a whole lot different from last year. I thought we would have had more decisions to make on PMPA last year. Turns out I think it's going to be this year. Matter of fact, you have, if you've looked at your agenda, you know we have an item for tonight about PMPA and some decisions we need to start making there that will affect our future rates. Same thing with OJRSA regional planning study. We've known that's been underway for quite a while. I expect some recommendations will come out of that this year.
Do you have a feel for the direction that's headed yet?
Not on cost. I think it's headed the direction of a 5-member board. Whether or not it's going to be made up of staff and elected officials from the three cities or not, I think is kind of the question they're going through right now. Scott's coming up to me. Anything you want to add that they can?
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge. We're looking at what would be needed on the legislative level for changes that may be coming. So that's something that they're exploring now. We've actually got a meeting on Thursday to go a little bit deeper into that. But Kevin said there is a question about who would be on the board. And I think it is pretty much said we're going to be a 5-member board moving forward.
But it is going to stay an Oconee County entity. It's not going to be sold off to somebody else.
That's the current leaning of the committee now. That was pretty much decided in the first meeting, is that we wanted to try to keep it local control. Say that long way down the road of seeing what kind of legislative requirements would have to be updated for the restructuring, because right now the thought is start from scratch.
Yeah.
So take out what's in place now, all the agreements would have to be reworked with the authority and the cities. But before we can do that, we've got to see what, there's got to be a definite direction moving forward of what the board will look like and what the makeup of the board as far as the members. I think that's going to be one of the rubs with members on the committee is deciding how that should be done.
Yeah.
Because there is some conflicting thoughts on who should be on the board. So.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Of course, we still have the, yeah, thank you, Scott. We still have the consent order for the sewer system that we're working through. I think we're making good progress on that. I believe we get through this and you see some of the things we're proposing to do and what we've already done, it's possible we could get out from under that consent order when we do things that we'll get through today. That doesn't mean that that would happen by the end of this year, but it could happen in 2026. Competitive wages, I mean, that's always a struggle when we put the budget together. We want to give the highest percent increase. We did 5% in 22 and 23. Last year we did 3%. Or I guess this current year we did 3%. We try and put as much in there as possible, but there's a lot of competing demands for that. Managing the volume of projects, having Scott on staff helps. We've got a deep bench now in utilities with Scott Harbin, Chris Todd, and with Lee Baker coming back. Lee and Taylor, I think, are doing a great job at that whole crew is doing a great job. I don't want to take away from the other guys, too. But the amount of things that we're doing that's in addition to our everyday, sometimes it gets to be a little bit of a push. Of course, we always struggle with electric and water system reliability. Again, what we're going to talk about today will help with that. You all know we have come a long way in the last 4 or 5 years in making our electric system a lot more reliable. I think we've done the same thing with water. And it's getting time now to pick the next lowest hanging fruit. Grant uncertainty, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. If the feds are gonna keep the grants in place, take the grants away. We've been back and forth on that. And that's in your presentation yesterday from the ones that we are fairly certain are safe versus the ones that aren't. Increased cost, which really goes to just inflation. One of the things that I expect you're going to see in the budget we're going to propose to you is as we've added new equipment, particularly to utilities, it's not going to quite happen for fire yet, but it's also going to happen for police. We're spending a lot on maintenance in the years past. Now we've got newer equipment. We're able to start moving some of that maintenance money around. Some of you may not have been on council those years where we were budgeting as much for maintenance as we were budgeting now for capital replacement. So that saves a lot of staff time. It's a lot more efficient. We aren't trying to piece together things that we don't need to piece together. Contractor costs, that kind of goes with materials and supplies. City financials. We talked a little bit yesterday on the growth that we're having strains a little bit of our finances. We've got a little, and Helene added a little bit to that, where Rebecca told me earlier, sometimes she's got to pray over the checks that she cuts, making sure we got 3 days of it being in the post before it hits. And that's just because we've got so much going on. And I think you would see that in any business as they start to scale up, there gets to be a little bit of strain on cash. We've got a plan for that in here too that I want to talk about. And then not lost on any of your staff is the affordability of everything that we do for the customers who pay the bills. So whenever we do really anything, we're going out of our way to make sure we're as cost effective as we can be, understanding that we are sometimes not the cheapest. And then the old Donald Rumsfeld thing, the unknowns, the knowns, known unknowns, the unknown unknowns, all that. So I've got a kind of a, I actually got this today after I prompted the PMPA folks. PMPA usually gives us a benchmarking report every year that I put our information in here. Julianne London, who is the CFO at PMPA, she sent that to me this afternoon. I didn't have a chance to get it loaded in here to see where we all kind of vet out in relation to our PNPA peers. I'll have that in one of our subsequent budget workshops, just so you can see it. I think it's good to kind of know where we stand with other folks that are pretty closely related to us. Days cash on hand. I calculated it a little bit differently this year. If you go back and you look at these in previous years, I was trying to mimic what we get from PNPA, and I was able to do that. I even did a celebratory walk around City Hall after I did it, because I had not been able to do it any year up until now, but I figured it out today. That's not the important part. The important part is when you look down at the bottom and you see the day's cash on hand, you can see that we're coming down. It's going to be important that we reserve a larger contingency in this next year's budget so that we can start to get that number back up. Ideally, we've got 90 to 120 days cash on hand for things like Hurricane Helene. And when we get to doing the audit for the current fiscal year we're in, that number is going to go down even more because we probably won't have those reimbursements from FEMA for the money that we fronted out of our cash for Helene. So there may be some things that I present to you that we don't do simply for the purpose of building that cash back up. So I just wanted to point that out. I was fairly certain we were in a downward trend. I didn't think that we would have dropped below 70. And again, 2025 is just a budget number. It depends on how we come out of the year. But Helene is going to hit when we audit 25. So I'm expecting that number to go down again.
Is there any update on when FEMA's going to pay out?
So for
I don't mean this crassly, Adam, and forgive me for the language, but whenever they get good and damn ready. It's just, you just don't know when they're going to do. Reagan is working on that. We had FEMA folks in. Was it last week, Reagan?
The last 2 weeks, and I have a call with them next week as well. By the March, end of March, I'll have all our requests turned into them. And as Kevin said, it can be a while before we get that money in hand, a while before they even get the final approval.
They still don't have everything up and running for us to even be able to submit all their questions.
Do we have a total cost yet?
What's that?
Do we have a total cost?
In here, I've got a $200,000 number. Reagan, do you know?
We'll be plus or minus $15,000 from $200,000, depending on what they end up accepting at the end of it.
And keep in mind, some of that cost that we can get reimbursed, I mean, you saw this on one slide. I remember you commenting on it. Mm-hmm. When we used a chainsaw, we can ask to be reimbursed $15 for the use of that chainsaw. Was that a real cost we had? Not really, but it's reimbursable. So when you see that number, the hard costs were in hiring those utility crews to come in and get the electric system back up, and in keeping that water line going across that bridge. Those were where we had the significant expenditures. Again, the group did great under Scott's leadership, and you all know we were one of the first cities back to normal operations in the upstate, and we're, as a staff, very proud of that.
So does that 2025 number, that does show the FEMA money not in there?
No,
or it does not?
It does not.
So, Kevin, what is the amount that would be a good amount to have
in
cash on hand?
Between 90 and 120.
Okay.
You get much above 120. There's some places, if I go back to this slide right here, you can't really see it, but the second line says days cash on hand combined utility. In the blue where it says range across 10 participants, 90, and we were 90, so I'm assuming we were the lowest in that. When she calculated it up to 360 is a bit much. I mean, if you're in a utility system and you've got a strong enough system, you can afford to have that much money in the bank and you don't have that much going on. But there's a point at which you're just kind of holding on to cash. So I'd wonder why you're holding on to that much cash. And they could have a legitimate reason. They could have bond indebtedness that's requiring them to have some of it. It could just be how they run their operation. They're a lot more physically conservative than other folks. Get back to our stuff here.
You're good. So right now, 2025, without the FEMA, we're sitting on over $2 million. To get to that 120, we would need to be closer to the force. We're about $2 million shy without the FEMA money. Does that sound right?
Say it another way.
So take out the FEMA money. FEMA money, you said, is around $200,000. $200,000 is about 6 days cash on hand.
Yep.
So we're at about 61 days right now. And if you do the 33.9 or 34,000 times 60 days, it's about $2 million.
Yes.
So we're about $2 million short to get to our 120-day mark that we need to be at. Yep. Or 1.8 once FEMA pays.
Well, and I would feel comfortable we get back up to 90. Because I think you're going to see when we get down your calculation that you just did, where that takes us down to 61 days, if everything else stays the same on that 2025 budget, then we're now down 30 days from where we want to be. And when we first started this journey to making sure we had a healthy day's cash on hand, I think we were at somewhere around 50.
It's going to be a crawl back.
Yeah, and so the my approach that I'm going to present to you is that you crawl back. You put a few days in at a time, and then you budget conservatively, and then you manage conservatively, and hopefully you budget for a few days, and then you close the year out, and you're able to add a few more days because you're under budget on anything. So this is breaking it down a little bit more, showing you how each of the what we call our proprietary funds. So you get to see solid waste gets added in there. Solid waste is not a part of what we call our combined utility system. The combined utility system is just electric, water, and sewer. But for the when you look through the audit, you'll see that solid waste is separated out in there, which is why I put it in here. Solid waste has been doing better the last 2 years than we had done in the past. And we're hoping to be able to squeeze another new garbage truck in there. We need a new front loader kind for the commercial. The one we've got now is old and has a lot of maintenance needs. But we've got to kind of see where the numbers fall, whether or not we propose that. This is just a reminder. It took a lot of discipline to be able to stay at the 5% utility transfer. My encouragement to you is let's stay there, because when you get away from it, it gets really hard to get back to it. And our utility system needs the money.
That print is the smallest you ever produced.
Well, you know, I just wanted to see if he was paying attention. Really, I didn't. I apologize that it's so small. I can send this to you in a bigger format. This needs to be updated. What I wanted to do is give you a general sense. If you just look at the green line, okay, the footnotes tell you what is behind all the numbers, where each thing is. And if you want to see that in the original spreadsheet, I can send it to you. But we've got, Reagan and I were working through it today. We've got a few things to update. One of the ideas that I did want to show it to you, though, in this, is even if you can't read the numbers, is when you see this bond transfer, this bond right here, mm-hmm, where we bought police and fire equipment, the idea is that we only use it for the fewest number of years. So if we can get a 3-year term, and we had, last year the bank would only give us a 5-year term, but we're buying that new equipment so that we're buying it and we're paying for it in the shortest period of time, not all at once.
Sure.
And then we're able to move on and do the next thing. So with that amount, so this cumulative amount down here doesn't grow. There's a point at which it will stop growing because the old stuff will rotate off and the new stuff comes on.
Sure.
But we've got to get a few more years out. I think when we buy this next batch of vehicles for Fred, we will have cycled every police car, I'm just going to say car, in and out. We still have some work to do for fire. And we've taken care of all the low-hanging small stuff in utilities. The next stuff that's going to come out of utilities is going to be big. So we just will have to spend some decisions there. Contingency planning. So this is where it's going to take a bit of discipline. I was kind of reflecting on this today. The reason I calculate this is to show you the amount of money we would have to set aside if we're just setting aside 5% in contingency funds to start building up those days cash on hand. Adam, to your point, how do we start doing that? And if you start looking at doing it across the three utilities, you can see how much money we've got to set aside each year. But then if you go all the way down to the little footnote down there, it says, I don't have it there. I've got it on a different slide. We only put $66,000 or $68,000 in pure contingency in this year's budget. So you can see that's just a little more than 1%. We really need to put a bit more than that. That takes a lot of discipline to do with all the other pools for the money. All right, so that's most of the utility stuff there. I'm going to get into projects going forward. Are any questions on any of that or any comments? Are you okay if we exercise that level of discipline to, particularly on this slide, because that means there are some things we may choose not to do that would be really good to do. I would not say they are critical to do.
I think I'd like to see what those things are before it came in.
And is that going to mean a utility increase to do that?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have an increase across most things like we did last year just to be able to keep up. It's more a matter of how much. Now, last year, when we had the budget workshops, we talked about committed to nothing more than 5%. When I was looking at stuff today, I'm thinking somewhere in the 3-4% range on most things. Electric is kind of the unknown right now because, when we talk about the ability to sell, what we're going to talk about in the regular session meeting, excess baseload that we have, if all that goes through as projected, we'll save money and we won't need a rate increase, but I don't know when that's going to go through. Mayor, you know that. It's a great idea. It's all in the works, but when will it actually happen where we can reap the benefit? Can't tell you. So I'm going to move on to projects. So this is an old one. An old one, but a good one. Oldie, whatever you want to call it. So we did great when we had our sidewalk rehabilitation money. We got that money from the C Fund Committee. We turned it over. We went out. We did new sidewalks. That was great. We went back, asked them for street paving money in 23, and we haven't got anything paved. An issue there was the smaller contractors like Hubbard Paving got bought out by King Asphalt. Pretty much all the small pavers got bought out by King Asphalt, and so we're too small for King Asphalt to bid. Reagan led this effort. We threw in our money with Wahala and Seneca, and then worked with the C Fund Committee to try and make that work, and then we ended up throwing in with Oconee County and then getting thrown back out. So we've been all over the place. I have asked if we could maybe find a different way to use that money in the interim, and we'll see how the C Fund Committee, they're meeting next week, Reagan? Yeah, they meet on the PMPA day, just to see. We're not giving up.
Well, what happened with the combining it with the county and other cities?
When we combined with Seneca and Wahala, we were ready. We were allocated the money. Troy Rozier did, and his group did all the design work that you have to do to follow DOT. You got to follow SCDOT regulations to use the money. Troy did all that for us. We showed up. We were ready to go. The other two cities were not. One of those wasn't even near, anywhere near close. They basically got the money and then have been taken away. So everybody's got to have that documentation ready to go for their own stuff for us to be able to package it together.
We're not allowed to use that somewhere else. Is it worth putting it back up for bid?
Well, we could. What I'm angling to do is to be able to use this on the downtown streetscape. So just think of not necessarily the trees and the light posts that may get put in there, but the actual street itself we can use some of this money on, and it helps us with our match. Helps us use the money that Senator Alexander and Representative Whitmire got for our match. We can switch some of this over to that, get that done. And remember that on here, one of the reasons we slowed down at one point is because Oak Street has a deficient sewer line under it, which SCRIA has now given us permission to use that skip money to make Oak Street sewer better. So it gets to be a matter of sequencing. So Oak Street is one of those we probably just need to take off the list, move that money into something else, and in 3 or 4 years come back and ask for it.
Do you know when they're going to meet to give us approval or not?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Cross your fingers.
Backup generators, this is just a great big old hit your head against the wall. We did everything we should do when we bid it out, which you guys approved last year. We had to send the final information to South Carolina Emergency Management, and it has just been crickets. They respond, well, not crickets. When we ask them, what's the status update? They're like, we're reviewing. They have been reviewing for how long, Reagan? 6-8 months?
So after we bid out the project, if you recall, we removed the generator at North Avenue at the Clearwell.
That's the one with the strike through at the bottom.
That Clearwell, they then required a scope of work change, and that's been pending for about 5 months, and they just asked me to extend the deadline on our project time frame. So
My fear is we're going to have to rebid it because...
those numbers won't be any good.
Who's the guy we used?
Davis.
Paul Davis. Paul did a great job putting that proposal together for us and was ready to go, ready to order the generators. We didn't want him to order the generators till we had approval from SCEMD, which is good because...
Our cash on hand be even low.
Well, the thing is, we wouldn't have been able to pay him, or we'd have been violated the grant agreement. Yeah. So maybe it's the 8-kilowatt generator that has a much longer lead time than this.
It's like a year.
Yeah, there's a pretty decent lead time. So anyway, we're ready. We've got all the sites ready. If you go to the back of City Hall, you see where we're stuffed out. We got the electric panel in. Same thing in shop. We're ready to go when you get that. USDA loan, well, we've done this now. Rebecca's even made the second payment at this point.
Hey.
That was a big lift. That was a lot of really good work that, we did. It's a shame that we can't go look at how shiny it all is because it's all underground, but we made a lot of good system improvements. It's hard to measure when you don't get a phone call because something is better, but I'm certain all of y'all have not been called because we made it better. The skip money, so here's kind of where we are. You know, we got $5 million total. Of course, we had to come up with $1 million of that. We thought what you see there is phase one was going to use all $5 million. When we bid it out, it came out back at 1.7. So we went back to RIA, asked them would they let us use the remaining 3.2 to do the Oak Street area. So not just Oak Street, but there's a number of other sewer lines. Some of them are on 123. And was it the last couple of weeks they have finally said yes? So do you know if Troy's close to having those bid documents ready?
Yeah, I think he's right there.
So we'll have what you see down there, phase two, coming to you in the next couple of months, I guess. Troy is always pretty good.
You said that's Oak Street?
I call it the Oak Street area, so if you see that little circle map there, Adam, this is Oak Street right here. And so it will be to replace most of that, going up 123, coming back up. Is that, what's that street that goes by?
Piedmont?
Is that Piedmont that goes by?
Piedmont.
On the other side of Avis. Yeah, it also comes back this way. It goes under the underpass and a little bit on North Avenue. So the way Troy wrote it was, we'll do everything we can get done for $3.2 million and then we'll call it a day. So, and that's what I like about the way Troy bids things out is it gets us the most flexibility. But in the end, this is what the goal is to try and do. Hurricane Helene, I put that in there mainly because it's just a cool graphic. But just to remind you that it does have an impact on us, and it's cash flow. Now, the benefit of Hurricane Helene is we put in a lot of new poles that hopefully we don't have to replace again. We put in some new transformers. We pulled some new line. In the end, our system is a little bit stronger as a result of it, but we have to pay for it. So there's a whole lot that's in this. So I'm going to give you a second just to kind of look at it. I'll tell you a few things that I'm thinking and then give you a chance to kind of respond back. We first came up with the idea of you doing a utility bond, and we talked about this last year during the budget, and the reason that we only talked about it and we never came back to you is we had to do two things, and I mentioned this, I think, yesterday. So for those of you who heard, please forgive me. But before we could make any kind of movement on this, we had to close out the USDA loan, and we had to get the audit done. So we didn't get both of those things done until December. So that pushed us a little bit. Because we did a USDA loan, any future indebtedness that we take on the combined utility system, the USDA has to sign off on. I've got all that in the works, but it's a federal agency and they take time. So we closed all that out at the end of 2024. Prior to me coming here, which was in early 2020, is when they initiated everything with USDA. So you see how long that took. It did not take 5 years, 4 years to get the construction done. It just takes a lot of time to get through all the hoops you got to jump through. So we waited for those things to get done. They're now done. We have, I saw the email go through right before I came, the email exchange between our bond counsel and USDA where they're trading information back and forth. I have sent this to our bond counsel and I've sent it to our financial advisor saying get primed for this because there's a lot of hoops that have to be jumped through even before I can bring it to you and ask you for approval. If you tell me to shut it down today, I'll shut it down, but I can't crank it up on a dime. It takes a lot of people kind of control.
So you don't have that included in the debt service table that you showed us a while ago? So that would be in addition to?
Yes. And what that comes back to is First Tryon, who is our financial advisors, what they will do with this and what they'll do with the $800,000 that we need for Horton is they, in essence, put together a request for proposal for banks to loan that money. One bank I talked to, they won't do $5 million except for a maximum of 5 years. Well, the debt service on that would be like $800,000. It's a lot. Mm. Everything on there is amortizable. Andrea didn't say that wasn't a word, so I'm going to say that's a word. For 10 or 15 years. So we're looking for a bank to give us a loan for 10, 15 years so that debt service comes down. We won't know that until we put the RFP out to the banks for them to respond back to. I'll be able to run calculations that will show at this interest rate for this term, this is what it'll be. So it's kind of like the PMPA thing. You got to get the cart moving before you have enough. You got to decide that you want to go down the path and start down the path before you know if you want to continue. So in order to do rough numbers to do a $5 million bond, you got legal and financial and bank fees worth about $150,000. The electric underground with SCADA, 1.5. That is a plug number. I'm gonna toggle back and forth if that's all right. So you guys have seen those lines going down Anderson. Is it Anderson Avenue, Anderson Road? I forget the last name. Richard Tucker's been telling me since I got here, you need to underground those lines. Mm-hmm. That's where your pinch point is. You can see how those trees tower over all the electric lines, mm-hmm. and they're trimmed back as far as we can trim them for the right-of-way, which means that particularly in that middle picture, one tree could fall and take out both sets of lines, yeah. and everything's out until we get it all restored. Depends on what happens to the poles. Depends on how much the line gets pulled. We've done a lot of improvements to the system. This is what I think is the next big effort. We also do not have a SCADA system. So I don't remember what the acronym for SCADA is. Do you remember? I give you 5 gold stars if you remember.
Hang on, let me go.
No, Google doesn't count. So the SCADA system, we have it on our water system. It just allows us to remotely monitor what's going on. So think of our elevated water tanks. They are all connected to a SCADA system, which monitors the level in those tanks, and it reports back to the water plant the depth of water in those tanks.
Did we have a SCADA system that was acting up at one time?
Yes, we still have one that's acting up. You're fortunate. It didn't go anywhere. We'd like for it to go away.
Gee, can we do a control burn on those trees?
Oh. There you go.
So we may be required by state law to put in a SCADA system on the electric system. If you remember, I think it was December of 22 when Texas froze almost solid for nearly a month. Y'all remember that? You kind of think back. And as a result of Texas not having power for nearly a month, our state legislator decided we need to solve the same problems they had in Texas. We don't have the same problems they have in Texas, but part of that is to require monitoring of your system. We have a TAMLA system that gives us some information, but we don't have, when Richard Tucker goes down to the substation, he still brings a laptop that weighs about 50 pounds and has a green screen on it.
Oh, man.
And he sits there like this trying to... We need to be able to monitor that from the shop so that... And it'll make our response times a whole lot better. They'll be able to groom... They'll be able to move power around without actually having to go out in the field. Some stuff will still require them in the field. There's a lot of benefits to it, and I think we may be required to do it. There is some legislation that was passed, I think, back in 23, and there is a bill pending right now that essentially is trying to help jumpstart Santee Cooper and Dominion to start up that old nuclear plant above Columbia.
B.C. Sumner.
Yeah, B.C. Sumner. But there are a lot of provisions in it. And I got an email today, like everybody else in the SCAMPS group, asking us to go through and try and evaluate it. Those are the kind of things that get attached to it that we have to comply with because we're electric.
Grants available to go after for something like this?
No, because mostly everybody looks at electric utilities as being money makers.
Yeah. Bottom over. So it's not.
So, $1.5 million is a plug number. I don't know if that's the number that we'll come back with. Richard is still working on his final numbers that he would make a pitch to us on. I put it in there as the biggest thing because there is a lot to be gained by doing that. Going back to this, we have Lucky Street and then James and Highland Avenue in there. Those water lines need to be replaced. I'm going to go back. We looked at this last year. That water line going in by Westminster Baptist Church, the American Legion, the Senior Outreach, that line is not a good line. I can't tell you how many times I told Truman Holbrooks the water issue was his at the American Legion until Scott showed up and told me I was wrong, and I had to go back and buy Truman a box of chocolates and apologize. That's not a good line. It needs to be replaced. I have, when you see that $275,000 number in there, that's estimated. When Troy first priced that out, which was more than a year ago, it was around $245,000. When you see all those numbers, they're inflated from what my last estimate was. And that's because most of the estimates are a little bit old, meaning they could very likely come in under that. I'm actually counting them to come in under the numbers I put up there. Then we also have James Street, and I'm sorry that this is such a wonderful graphic, and this is such a horrible graphic, but it's the graphic I have. We are looking at, actually, Scott may be able to explain. Scott, come explain why you want the loop in there and how much. So this is the section that really needs to be done, but we added this additional stuff in so that we can loop the line.
So what that will do right now, the line on James is, I think it starts out at an inch and a half line, which is about this big. But in reality, you could probably barely stick a pencil through it because it's rusted up. And by the time you get to the other end, it's reduced to a 3/4 inch, which is even smaller. So these houses really don't have much water at all right now. And what they do have can be rusty, and it really needs to be replaced. So the idea with this, with the loop, is to be able to have water circulate through constantly and just beef up this entire portion of the system with that loop. So it'll tie to bigger lines on either end, and it'll provide fire flow for this area that really doesn't have that great fire flow, which will help out Keith when they have something in that area. But there's a lot of benefits to that, and it's more reliable and better quality service to the customers.
Get rid of them empty water jugs sitting on the side of the highway or the road.
Those are outside the right of way, so I don't know about that. We'll try.
That's part of the thing, but that's not, he's not been wrong.
I know. Yeah, I realize that.
Yeah, with the testing we did back in the summer, this definitely needs to be included.
And there's some upsizing in this, too.
Yes, yes. This is upsizing it large enough to supply a fire hydrant. So that would give a lot more flow to the entire area. Plus, with some development going on the backside there, it'll help with that flow there, too. So basically, you'll end up with cleaner water from newer lines, better flow, more constant pressure, plus fire protection.
You know, we can get hammered for blowing out his water lines.
Hey, we gotta have something.
Yeah.
We can't just give up everything.
You know what happened.
I'm gonna go back to our list. So when you look there, you see that we've got Lucky and James Street. So the next item on there is the skip match. So the skip match isn't quite 500,000, it's 492 and change. And we have that in the bank right now. The reason I'm proposing that we borrow money for what we have in the bank is we needed to stay in the bank. Right. We talked about our cash position, the number of days cash on hand. I can't go out and get a loan or a letter of credit. We can't really incentivize any other kind of fee to build up that cash, but we can take the cash that we have and protect it if we're going to do a borrow. And that would be my suggestion to you here. In order to do that, you have to pass a thing called a reimbursement resolution, which I have the attorney working on, which basically says that we're going to spend this money before we borrow the money, but when we borrow it, we're going to give it back to ourselves. So I have them working on that, unless you shut me down on this bond. Downtown streetscape utilities, I don't know what, but I feel certain we're going to find something out there in Main Street that our grant's not going to pay for, that we're going to have to pay for. And what I'm certain is going to be is something related to either, well, it's going to be our water line, most likely. Because we aren't touching the sewer lines on Main Street. We'll touch a little bit of sewer line over on Retreat. So I put that in as a plug number. We have the money coming in from the state that doesn't have the same grant requirements that the grant does. That gives a little bit of buffer. Water system SCADAs, Adam, you heard us talk about our SCADA system. It's reached the end of its useful life on the software and the hardware. The number we had last year was around 265,000. Again, I rounded up, bigger numbers. And part of the reason I'm telling you this is when we get ready, we move forward with the bond, we'll go through, we'll make sure we've got good estimates on this, and that bottom number hopefully shrinks rather than grows. And that's because I'm starting high so that we bank it low. Water system tank improvements, that's the Unity tank. There are a number of things that Troy Rozier will tell you we need to do, and getting that Unity tank, getting another tank up there so that we can increase the pressure coming down through those lines is very important. We've got some customers that do not have adequate pressure in their lines, and this is how you resolve that. We've applied three or four times. We're about to apply for the fourth time in March. We've been turned down every time they say it's a great project, you just didn't score enough points, which means we're competing with other folks. So the hope is that other folks compete less well, and we rise up through the ranks. If that doesn't happen, we still need to do it. Well, I created a slide on this one. There we go. So the important part is probably the descriptions up on that first paragraph. Down below is what would we do if RIA comes through with the money. We still need to make some improvements coming back this way from that tank to help increase the flow. So we would use that money there. The last estimate we had on this project was around $650,000, but that number is now 2 years old. So not knowing what's happened with tanks was my fear. Again, you're going to see a conservative number there, which means I'm higher than I hope we're going to be when it gets time to do it. And we're going to make a full court press to get RIA to really consider funding this one. But sometimes full court presses don't work. And then the last one, wastewater manhole rehabs. It's amazing how that number shrunk. Anybody real? I'll give you 5 gold stars if you tell me how much that number was yesterday.
650.
You get 5 gold stars, baby. Reagan, make a note. We got to send Danny 5 gold stars. So, just since yesterday. Well, I had finished yesterday's presentation a little bit ahead of time. But as I went back through looking at some other numbers, I wanted to get that bottom line where we are definitively lower than $5 million, and all that comes into the cost of issuance and everything else. So I'm trying to buy that number so that $5 million is the max. So you can't have projects that equal $5 million because then you're guaranteed to be 5.2 on your bond. So I'm trying to pull it down. The reason the manhole rehabs are in here, one, we have a lot of manholes that need rehabbing. This is a slide from last year. Davey, you asked yesterday how much is a manhole rehab cost? Somewhere between $25,000 and $75,000, depending on the depth. And you can see, like if you see the top right manhole, see how deep that one is compared to the bottom right? That's what's driving the cost. You can see that top right one is also made out of, Scott, what is that even made out of?
Just brick.
Is that brick, or is they just pack the clay in there, kind of?
They just stack the brick in the circle.
That's a lot of water that's going to infiltrate in between those joints, or between the bricks and the mortar. So the reason behind asking for a plug number is we would do that following Troy Rozier's model. We have $500,000. We bring a contractor in. Here are the manholes we want done, and however much $500,000 gets us, we get it. The reason that's in here, rather than focusing on some other things that we could focus on, is back when the OJRSA did the first part of their study, I'm trying to think of what that study was, for the first one.
That was their,
is it regional planning?
The regional, yes.
Or are you doing regional planning now?
This is the one with Clinton, that's the one you're talking about, the capacity and.
So they, the consultants made a point of critiquing, especially Westminster and Wahala, because we only use grant money to improve our sewer system. So the way the consultants and the folks at the state view us as not taking care of our own with our own money. Even though we use our own money to match those grants, you can go back in those reports and like, well, these systems aren't as healthy as they could be because they don't use their own money. So we do that. One of the first things I want to do is send that to that consultant and say, we take care of our own. We've done a lot of work. Scott has our guys doing a lot of work to what I say groom and maintain the system. But it's not the kind of thing where we're spending large capital dollars to do it. And basically the state just says, yeah, well, you're supposed to do that. Well, we're doing what we're supposed to. So that's why you see there's a little bit of my rationale behind each one of those things. And I've spent a lot of time saying a lot of words. Is there any comments or questions from you on why any of those are in there, any objections to anything?
We asked USAID for the money. I heard they'll give it to anybody.
If we find somebody still working there.
Yeah.
Find one of these radical groups to do the manholes, and they'll pay them to do it.
Stuff's unreal.
And I didn't ask you, is there anything that you have heard us talk about that you are wondering why we didn't put on there?
I think we know why there's not more on it. There's just so much we can do.
Oh, yeah, there is a lot more that if I brought Richard Tucker, Troy Rozier, and Kevin Hartman, and Scott Chris in here, which I won't do, that could easily be $15 million to still take care of things sure. they could identify off the top of their head. This is what I would say is critical to do. This is the next lowest hanging fruit. Gets us a long way down the road. And it's not stuff that we'll have done even if we get the bond through this summer. This will take us a year, maybe a year and a half, to get everything done.
Can you go back to that debt table?
Which one?
The debt table, the one that was so small you can't read it here on our paper. There you go.
You can read that?
Not on my paper. I can read it from here, but I can't on my paper. So if we were to get that ready, it'd be 2027 budget before we actually started going into that, or would it be in 26?
Very likely what I would do would be plan for some debt service to start more or less a year from now. And it kind of all comes down to the terms of the bank. So when we do the lease purchase, the bank that we've been using, the first payment isn't due for a year. Mm. That's just that's how they do it. So the bank, whichever bank we went with, could say, well, we want first payment within 6 months, or we want first payment within 90 days after loan closing. Everybody's going to have some different set of terms that we have to go with. And part of that is what you get when you put the RFP out to see what they respond back to. Mm. What I would suggest is prepare for at least 6 months.
But if it hit in 2026, then that would be added to the 569 we have there now.
Yes.
And it would be 30 to 40,000 a month?
Yeah, I'm expecting, I'm hoping that we end up paying about each month what we pay for the USDA. Keeping in mind, the 8.7 is over 40 years. We're doing 5, so if I can get that over 20 years, then it should be kind of close in that same amount. If we only get 15, then it's going to be more. It's also the kind of thing where, and it's not anything that I like to do, but if we only need, and I'm just going to run a scenario out through you on water. Let's say to cover that debt service, we needed to do a 4% water increase. But we don't need it until January. Well, then maybe you don't do the rate increase effective until January. You could either build it up starting in July, or you can wait until you need it to hit. That gives everybody a little bit more time before they start building that. There's a number of ways you can go about tackling it. You don't just have to do a rate increase at budget time. That's certainly the preferred way, I think, for everybody. It adds a lot of predictability to it, but there's no state law, there's nothing that prohibits you from doing it really any time you need it.
All right.
Okay, so these are, when I say considerations for council, these are really kind of questions. Or things that I want to convey to you for you to give me feedback. I think that we're going to need rate increases like we had, and I say, well, like we had last year. We had a rate increase on most things. We had it on electric, water, sewer, and solid waste. We had some other things like tap fee increases and a number of other things that doesn't affect everybody's kind of coming and going. I'm not as concerned about those as I am about kind of the big four. Where are you guys on that 3 to 4% in terms of a rate increase on those things?
Not good. All three.
So I hear you say that. I see Audrey shaking her head. She's okay with
it. I'm not saying I'm not okay with them. We're not good. I mean, it's not like we want to do that at all.
Oh, yeah. I'm not asking if you want to. I'm asking if you would do it.
I can understand it, yes, I can understand it.
It's kind of like my wife wants me to want to take out the trash. I do not want to want to take out the trash. I will take it out, but I don't want to.
Oh, Lord.
You should enjoy taking out the trash.
I should enjoy it?
No.
My thoughts are, things are tough. Everything is going up. Things, everything. And if we're looking out for the best for our citizens, I really like the idea of not hitting it until you have to. I like incremental, that they don't feel, you know, if we can do 3% until January, then do 4%. Anything that helps, that, you know, I'm realistic. I go to the restaurant and I go 2 weeks later and they've changed the menu because the prices have gone up in right. 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's just a restaurant. Right. So I live in that realistic world. I know how it's affected me personally with everything else. So, and to do the best with our citizens, to let them know what we learn. Like I was going to ask you a minute ago, why are manholes important in our town? Because when people know that that costs that much to fix it, they need to know why, you know, and they just need that common knowledge, and we need it to make sure we're explaining that well to them, you know. But I'm just a real realist about what's going on in the world and what we need to do.
When will we know if we're required by legislation to have the SCADA system?
Don't know. So the, you know, even if I go pull that email up and see if it's in that legislation that we have right now, it may or may not be what gets passed. Mm-hmm. It could not be in there now and end up in the final one. It could be in there or not. Having a SCADA system at least on the substation would be very beneficial. However, I would say getting those lines underground is more beneficial than having a SCADA on the sub. And I'm still waiting on Richard's numbers to come back. And I'm not critiquing Richard for not having those numbers to me. We didn't have a commitment to do that. But with the SCADA system also comes increased operating costs that you got to maintain it. You then have software you got to pay annual fees on and everything else. It doesn't come free.
That's why I'm trying to decide, is it a want or a need? I mean, yeah, we'd love to have it. It would help us, but at the same time, do we really, really need it?
Well, and to your point, I'm kind of tracking with what I think that state law is going to require.
These meetings are open, right?
This meeting? Mm-hmm. It's being recorded, right? It'll be on the website later today. Mm-hmm. Or is it later today? Rebecca
tomorrow.
Gave me a grunt.
Tomorrow.
It'll be on there sometime when Rebecca
tomorrow.
Gets it on.
She said tomorrow. Just think it might be worth.
I always forget.
I think it might be worth all of us communicating to the community that these are open meetings and they can hear some of the deliberation. Going back to what Davey was saying, that it's not necessarily that we want to, but we have to be realistic. And I think that might change, you know, the way some people see what we do.
Well, I was going back through my notes yesterday on some of the things we talked about at the last council meeting. I think you made the suggestion that we put the council meetings and the utility bill and posted at the gym and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I forgot about putting it at the gym, but we've talked about getting in the utility bill inserts and stuff like that.
Bills. Mm-hmm. It's on bills now.
I thought we had talked about that like a year ago.
No, it's on there.
Okay.
Oh, look at there. See how quick Rebecca moves?
Yep. That's why we read the information for you tonight.
All right, so the next question. Are you okay with sticking with 5% franchise fee? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Budget contingency. And I put 3 or 5 or 3, that takes discipline to do that. that means there are things that we won't fund that we would, that the department heads are going to ask for. However, if we go back to the slide with days cash on hand, sometimes we really need that number to be 90.
Yeah.
We need to be working our way there. I mean, I'm asking you, are you okay with it? I'm trying to convince you. That's true. I'm trying to convince you.
Do you have an example of what type of things that you expect that we're going to be asked for we won't be able to fund?
Well, like if Hurricane Helene, another hurricane comes through?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean from the department heads?
Right.
Well, you know, every city employee would love to get a 5% raise. I can't tell you right now what a 5% raise for everybody would look like in terms of a value because we haven't calculated it yet. But as we go through the budget process, I calculate the value of a 1% increments. Mm-hmm. And then I can show you, here's what 1% is, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There will be, and for us, everything is very intimately related. So we talked a little bit yesterday about staffing for police, fire, and rec. Well, to add a position there, when we did this last year, I think there was a position request, probably was chief with yours, because we were still pending on the Oconee County. Was that last year we did that?
Year before.
So when we did, when we were pending with the county, how much we were going to end up with them, I could have told you how much each new firefighter would cost, breaking it down. So I'll be able to do that for you as we go through this. I can't do it today. I don't know what all Scott's going to have for us. You're ready to wear a budget request to?
Next week. That is the case on my list next week.
So one of the things that we've already done for utilities, you might remember we had issued a lease purchase for an electric pump truck that we were never able to purchase. So we went ahead and gave the boys permission to go out and get equipment they would have asked for in the budget. So I really don't expect to see those in your request.
Sure, it shouldn't be much of a budget at all.
Yeah, it should be giving us money back that can fund all this. So I can't answer your question until we get the request in. If you might not remember this from last year, but I gave you a couple of slides that showed what I didn't include in the proposed budget so that you guys could have made decisions, say, no, we want that or we don't want this kind of thing.
I guess that's what I'm looking for. I'd like to know, you know, there may be some legitimate stuff that we really need to give, and if we deal with the 5% as opposed to 3%, then tough luck till next year, and I hate to make that call without seeing what's on that list.
So something that comes to mind real quick right now is meters. Guys would really like to change a lot more meters than we're changing out annually. I held them back this year on the number of meters that we changed out just because we couldn't afford all the meters. I mean, I think Harvey came up with a 3-year replacement plan, which is what I asked him to do. And what we ended up funding was more like an 8-year replacement plan, because that's what we could afford. Now we do two things when we replace meters. The customer is being better served because the billing is more accurate, and we're better served because the billing is more accurate. Water meters especially, because those old water meters slow down over time. You put a new water meter in for somebody, they don't always like it because their water bill usually goes up because those old meters slow down.
Yeah, my water meter's working really good.
Well, I make sure they come change yours out every time. Make sure you have the latest and greatest.
Appreciate you.
We put extra grease on the wheel just so it'll turn. So I don't know, but I will, not quite a full a la carte type of budget, but I have in the years past, and particularly last year, gave you things so that you knew the value of what the request was and what you would have gotten. So number 4 is just something to maybe put in your head. If we don't get those grants, I've already come up with a little bit of a rough plan on how we would redo some things, but ultimately something has to not get done. And so if that happens, we'll have to make those decisions. And I expect that that'll be in this calendar year, just kind of based off what I'm seeing the same stuff you do. I mean, this is just national news level stuff. Operating and budget pressures, inflation pressures. I think we had more of that back when we did our 24 budget. Fortunately, we don't buy eggs.
Huh.
So we're safe from that type of inflation, but the cost of things generally just kind of keep going up, not at egg rate, but I have logistics to manage the projects, because you see that nice list down there. We will have to sequence that so that we can keep up with it. It doesn't all happen at once. The next slide is thank you.
Thank you.
You can take a break now. I didn't say you could go home now. That has said that.
I thought you had to change that sentence.
But I didn't know if you had any more input for me. And that will help us cut down on the number of iterations when we put the budget together. That's why we do this, is to get your feedback.
Yeah. I'm ready to see what their budget looks like and what they're asking for.
Kevin, I'm always going to lean toward the utilities. You know, I've told you that, especially if it's something that would save money in the long run. But it is what it is, and we know. I mean, it's the sewer authority issues, that's the big one, because they're going to hit us with a big increase if we're not careful. A big one.
Yeah, I think that's a likelihood with the sewer authority. I think there's a chance at saving money with PMPA. But that's if everything goes through.
Yeah.
And there's so many things to have to happen for that to go through that if it doesn't, then we don't see that savings.
And with the PMPA, it always drags out. It'll drag out 2 or 3 years.
And I did forget to mention, Joel is going to be here at our meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask, when we break, I'm going to ask you to move him right after Rebecca's presentation.
Okay.
That way he doesn't have.
But with the budget contingency, what I think I'm understanding you saying is that it's so necessary so we can have that cash on hand because of things like, I mean, we might get a tsunami. Who knows? We got a hurricane. You know, you don't know.
Wait, look what happened to Asheville. I mean, Asheville essentially had a tsunami.
I mean, we're having earthquakes all around South Carolina. You just don't know. And those things are necessary to run us balanced budget and to have a strong city foundation, I think. And I think that doing that, it would be across the board. It wouldn't just be the police or fire department. It's everybody. It's everything. And it's hard. It's kind of like telling your husband, telling your wife, you can't buy that this week. You know? But sometimes it's necessary. Is that correct, what I'm asking?
Yes, ma'am. So if you were to look at the budget we have right now, you'll actually see a line item that says contingency.
Okay.
And the intent is that we collect enough cash to fully fund that and then not spend it.
I got you.
So at the end of the year, and it's $66,000, at the end of the year, if everything went exactly as we projected, we should have $66,000 extra dollars.
Gotcha.
So if you go back to... this slide, and let's say we go with the 3%, then we would have a line item in the utility budget for $155,130 that isn't going to be spent, but that we hope to collect in revenue.
Gotcha.
And so that means there's something the utility department will ask for, and I say, well, where's that in our priorities? And if it doesn't rise to a high enough priority, we don't fund it so that we can fund that. It's just a discipline, I guess.
Sure.
So there,
it?
If
that it for tonight?
That's it. Yeah, but you need to adjourn your meeting.
Okay. Everybody ready?
You already lost one.
Ruth saw that slide come up. She's out of here. She said, "You said we could take a break, Mr. Administrator. You need a motion to adjourn."
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Yep.